He says, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And he says, if your heart's right, you've got a clean heart. All right? I think the verse is on there. 15:18 is where that comes from. So the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. It is a man's heart that makes him clean. So don't miss that. Because I'm just going to speak for men. We talk a lot about lust. We talk a lot about porn. We talk a lot about... Go down the list, right? I know women talk about other things. But if you're just talking about those things, those are the symptoms. Those are the things that come out of the mouth. So you got to go after the core issue. All right, so here we go. We're jumping in. So we're going to talk about three ways that you shape heart, not only with yourself, but with others and as you coach others. And here's the first thing. The heart is shaped by accountability. I think it's your first fill in the blank here. Heart is shaped by accountability. Okay, so let me give you a deficient view of what this looks like. I was having lunch with a leader, and he told me that he showed up for accountability. He showed up for a community group. They asked him, have you memorized your like six verses this week? And he said no, and they told him to give him 50 push-ups. Okay, that is not a biblical view of accountability. Okay? Because biblical accountability is not asking these questions. Have you done this week? Or how many times have you done this week? So, how many verses did you memorize this week? Did you memorize your verses this week? That's going after the things that come out of the mouth. Okay? We should be asking questions that are around essence, about around who you are, and I'm going to define that real quick, because that sounds really new agey, but, so we typically do community with this idea of sin management. Alright? Sin management, right? So how much did you do? Have you done this? Hey, you only looked at, well, I'm speaking from guys again, you only looked at porn this week twice? Hey, great job. That's better than seven times. Okay, ladies, that goes on. Okay, or you only got angry and blew up at your wife twice? You're taking ground, you know, or you didn't do it this week. Yeah, let's celebrate. Okay, I think there's some room for that, but at the end of the day, call it what it is. It's sin management. Did you do this or not? Let's reward you if you did this. If you did not, let's not reward you if you did it. That's called sin management. It's unbiblical. Okay? Here's what Jesus says about sin. Right? If your eye causes you to sin, what does he say? Gouge it out. Colossians 3, kill sin. Put sin to death. Right? And so, when we try to start managing sin and go, yes, this is good, a little bit less of this, a little bit more of this, we're really talking in unbiblical terms, okay? So here's what accountability should look like. Starting with Jeremiah 17:9, right? And this is the condition of your heart, it's corrupt. Here's how, it starts with you, right? When accountability is going to start with you, and here's how you model this, right? That you continually show up to people that you meet with or your group, so whether you're coaching somebody or your own group, and you communicate to them, hey, this is the state of my heart. You are God's provision for me. You are God's provision for me. I mean, just chew on that for a while. God has put you in this group or community so that I can be made holy. Because by myself, this is the state of the union of my heart. Okay, so one, you continually talk through, hey, you are God's provision for me. What do I need to see about myself that I'm not seeing? So just here's how accountability should look, and here's how your heart's shaped and others are shaped, is by inviting people in. So tell me what I need to see about myself. And when's the last time you asked somebody that? Right? Typically, you don't want any fingers pointing at you. You're like, oh, crud, you know? Here comes the hot seat. So it just starts by inviting people in to go, hey, what do I need to see about myself? How do you perceive me? If you're going to be my mirror for myself, to see myself the way I need to see myself so that I can become all that God wants me to be, what are you seeing me? Right. So it starts with you inviting people in. And here's what the community part looks like. So that's you. I'm going to give you some table time. But the community part goes after asking the right questions, okay? So I'm going to give you, I don't know, a few minutes to talk through what are some good questions to ask around accountability, right? That aren't how much, how often, did you, all those things, the things we probably usually ask. Come up with questions that are great accountability questions. We're going to throw them out in 5 minutes that really deal with heart issues. So questions that deal with motives. Do you have that heart is? I think motives, feelings, affections, desires, the wills, the aims, the principles, the thoughts, and the intellect. All right. How do you begin to frame questions around heart issues? All right, let me ask you this. Who's asking the wrong question, besides myself, who has been asking the wrong questions in your group? A couple courageous people? All right. There you go. All right. So does that make sense what we're going after here? Sweet. Take a few minutes. We'll re-jump, start this thing in a couple minutes. Talk at your tables. And if you need some help, raise your hand and Ripple will come help you. All right. All right. Break. All right. Let's circle up. Somebody else, like I just heard some Christmas music. Does anybody else get fired up for Charlie Brown Christmas or the Charlie Brown Christmas CD? Linus on the keys? Gosh, it fires me up. All right, let's talk through. So what are some good accountability questions you guys ask? Here, one, Keisha said, why do you think you do that? All right, so getting behind motive. Great. Yes, too? All right. Why do you think you do that? Great question. All right. Faulkner, I see you looking at me back there. Hello. We've known each other for a long time, haven't we? All right. Yeah, you did. Thank you. Still say thank you for that. Set me up for my hot wife. Yeah. So what are you finding your security in this week? Great question. What are you finding your security in this week? Great question. Yeah. What have been your excuses? All right. What have been your excuses? That's always a fun one to hear the answer. It's like, I feel like the parking brake comes up pretty quick. For that, once the car starts spinning out of control. I saw a hand, I think, back at Ripple's table. Yeah, what motives do you have for changing your behavior? It's good stuff. I'm telling you, our group looks different over the last month. I mean, there's been so much more conflict as a result of it, but I'm telling you, man, I love these guys. I mean, we've been together for 2.5 years. I'm like, it's getting good. Who wants to waste your time just showing up to something, you know, supper club? So, anybody else? Great answers. I have one other one written down. Yeah, and it's just, it kind of goes along with what you said. What's Christ trying to change in you right now? You know, forget about the sin. What is it? What's the core issue you think God's really going after right now? Great. Love it. Okay, so if you were at the conference at my part of the talk, you're indicting me if you don't answer. But have you seen any difference in your group? I mean, has anybody put this accountability piece in action and seen any fruit come out of it? Thanks for smiling. Yeah. Yeah. Two things that jumped off to me just... And she said, you know, there's no condemnation, right? Which comes right out of where? Romans what? 8:1. Yeah, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. One. And so how do you continually model that? Hey, there's no condemnation here. We're all sinners saved by grace. And then the other thing, I mean, which you can find in, Hebrews 10 or Hebrews 3, which is, hey, encourage each other daily as long as today is called today so that you may not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Of sin. I love it. Fantastic. All right, well, let's go on. So the second kind of bullet point I have is that that your heart is shaped by confession. Heart is shaped by confession. And, I told some people before, but if it was me, give me an hour to speak on this topic, right? I mean, this is important for so many reasons. I mean, I just want to go off on this because I can guarantee you, if I show up in a community group, if I sit down with a leader, and I pretty much always go after two questions. One, I'll tell you the second one later, What are you confessing in your group right now? I don't care what else is going on in your group. Tell me what you're confessing to men or with men in your group. Tell me. And if there's nothing, if there's like, you know, crickets going off, I can tell you with almost 100% certainty this group is in bad shape. Bad shape. Mark my word, it is in bad shape. Because if a leader doesn't think that confessing sin is important, or if he thinks that someone else's sin is bigger than his own, or her own, that's a bad place to be. And I want to just start with a scripture that has been ripping my heart out this whole year. Because if I could do year one over of my community group, I wish this verse was imprinted on my heart. Okay? It just says this. Let me set it up. You know, 2 Samuel 12, okay, and 11 is where David, men go off. David has an affair with Bathsheba. Everybody knows the children's story that I learned, I think, when I was 21. But it's weird because Samuel, in the last part of 1 Samuel 11, or 2 Samuel 11, he doesn't refer to it as Bathsheba. After David has an affair with her, all he refers to as his wife, not David's, the man he killed, right? His wife, right? Bad. So if you commit adultery in the Old Testament, anybody know what the punishment is? Death? Yeah, you're stoned. Anybody know what the penalty is for murder? Pretty stoned, right? So grab two stones for this guy. You're dead, right? If you have an affair on somebody or if you murder somebody, you are dead. Right? That's why in Psalm 51, he says, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take life from me, even though that's what I deserve. Right? David's saying, please spare my life. Restore to me. Okay, so David has just committed two acts that are punishable by death, right? Nathan shows up and tells him the story. I love the story, right? The rich man's got all these sheep, everything he needs. This little poor man has one sheep that he loves like a son, right? And the rich man goes and takes the sheep of the one sheep of the man who's nothing, and basically has a guest in town, meaning the sheep slaughtered and killed. And don't miss this. Here's David's response. It says, David burned with anger against the man, and he said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, this man deserves to die. Don't miss the implications here. Because the sin for David of that man and that story became greater to him to deal with than his own sin just a chapter earlier. And I can't tell you. If you see a group spinning out of control, I've been with I don't know how many rec groups this year because there's an affair going on in the not somebody in the group, but maybe the wife was having an affair, the husband was having an affair, and the group spent 95% of its energy for the last year on that affair couple. I'm going, okay, what are you confessing? Right? What are you confessing? What sin is the Holy Spirit raising up in you for you to deal with? Because He cares more about your holiness and you dealing radically with sin than worrying about this couple here. Now let me tell you, He wants you to love this couple, care for this couple, encourage this couple, all that. But don't fool yourself. Your sin is the most radical thing for you personally to deal with, leader, coach. Okay? But it is our nature to want to go to the crisis and focus on the crisis. That's why tonight, I'm telling our guys, because we're going in, so our group, we've been running with this dude for 2 years who can tell you the gospel. We're not even sure if he's a believer because there's no heart connection with this guy. We're going to sit down with his wife. And I'm telling the guys in our group as we sit down with his wife after this, men, be careful. Confess sin today. Deal with your sin today. Don't worry about that. We're going tonight in love. Deal with your own sin. And so, I know you've seen groups, it may have been your own group, where everybody's focused on the problem person. Don't ever go there. Lead out. You lead out by confessing your sin. All the time. Whenever I'm with a leader, I'm telling every time you show up with sit down with your guys, and I'm sorry, I don't hang out with women one-on-one like for that, but I always sit down with the men who lead with their wives. So every time you show up, man, there should be something fresh on your heart Because there's something every day that the Lord wants to refine, renew, make whole in your life. All right? So if you could just take one thing from tonight besides Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, please take this with you. Confess sin. James 5:6, we all know. Confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you can be healed. Right? There's something so freeing if you've gone through CR to confess sin. It is awesome. It is freeing. You are more loved as a result of it because people go, you're normal. You're just like me. Okay? Take Paul's attitude in 1 Timothy 1:15. I'm the worst of all sinners. Paul? Yes. This guy that we're dealing with idleness tonight, I'm telling you, this stuff that I feel like I'm uncovering last day, it's not good. So, live there. You can't really understand a lot of what Edwards writes, Jonathan Edwards, a couple hundred years dead now, but more alive than we are. He was a pastor, and so I can't understand much of what he reads, but look what he says. He has these resolutions. Here's his eighth one. Do you guys have this? Yeah. Resolve to act in all respects, both speaking and doing, as if no one has been so vile as I, and it is if I have committed the same sins or had the same infirmities or failings as others. And I will let the knowledge of my failings promote nothing but shame in myself and prove only as an occasion for my confessing my own sins and misery to God. All right? So here's how this works. Hey, so someone's sleeping around in your group, whatever that looks like, that you would always, I'm trying to remember what the leader's toy slipped me, but this guy was just struggling, and he goes, you know, my leader is solid, but every time I confess sin, he can look at me with all sincerity and genuineness and go, man, I struggle with that big time in my heart. You know, and just, I might not be clicking the thing for porn, but man, I struggle with that. I want that. And I want you to know that about me. And imagine if every time someone confessed in your group, you could look them in the eye with all sincerity and go, my heart wants to run there too. And thanks for sharing that. And that's awesome. Or, if you're confessing sin and everybody's kind of, you're becoming everybody's crisis, right? Because no one else is confessing sin. That's when you turn the table and go, hey, you guys ever struggle with, so maybe you're not doing the act, but you guys ever struggle with the heart aspect of that? I mean, that'll take your community group below the surface real quick. Okay? Any questions there before we move on to kind of like the third bullet point? So here's kind of the questions I would ask. Is what's the last sin you confessed to somebody in your group? I'm asking you guys that, right? In order so that you can answer that yourself, but also go to coach people. What's the last sin you confessed in your group? And here's the big deal, right? So not just what came out of the mouth, but did it go beyond just the confession of the sin? Did it go deeper after the heart issues, so the feelings that are around the emotions, all that stuff? So those are the two questions I'd just leave with you for the confession part. Any questions on your end? In the confession. All right. Get fired up talking about that. All right. So here we go. Kind of the third thing. Your heart is shaped third by just, I didn't really know what to put here, but I just put renewing of your mind, scripture. I'll kind of cover that. It sounded like a long title, but basically just renewing your mind. Scripture. If you were at my conference field and you heard this illustration, and so you guys can feel free to spit off the imagery. But when we were kids, I'm one of seven, good, strong Roman Catholic family. And we grew up with Swiss Family Robinson. Did anybody grow up with that? It's kind of old school. We had it on Betamax or whatever. It was sweet. We watched it all the time. And the oldest son, I think he's the oldest son, gets captured. Anybody remember his name? Fritz, I think it's who it is. Come on! You haven't forgotten about the animal races and all that stuff and the coconut bombs. And so Fritz is part of the family, right? He's part of... Is their last name Swiss? They can't be. They're just Swiss, right? It doesn't really matter. Anyway, Robinson. Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of sweet potatoes tonight. Okay, so... Fritz gets captured by the pirates, right, who live on the other side of the island. He's part of their family. Right? He's lived his whole life with them, and he gets captured, and he gets brainwashed. All right, so forgive the illustration if you've heard this at the conference, but he gets brainwashed, right, and he starts fighting against the Robinson family. Thank you for helping me identify the family. He starts fighting against his own family. And you're like, that's crazy. They're like, it's Fritz. And I think he's got a pirate bandana on. He's all tricked out in pirate stuff. And I think they lob like a coconut bomb on his head or something. But he kind of comes to his senses. And here's the deal. I mean, it just sits with me that we have, depending on where you grew up, your family grew up, and the church setting you grew up in, all that stuff, it's just this idea that we've been brainwashed. We've been brainwashed by our culture, but we have been brainwashed. Alright? We do not naturally think the things that God thinks about. But we don't naturally think, let me remember this verse or whatever. No, that's supernatural. That is the Spirit in you reminding you, just reading John 14, that the Spirit will remind you everything I've said. Jesus, okay? So that is a supernatural element. It is not natural for us to think the things of God, okay? We have been brainwashed like the greatness of Fritz, okay? And here's the deal. We end up fighting against our own family, believers, people in our community group that we love, that we're pouring blood out for, our life, because we, you know, our heart is deceitful above all else, right? We walk in the flesh, even though we should be led by the Spirit. And so we've got to continually come back to Scripture and renew our mind. And I feel like that sermon's been preached over and over, right? But I'm telling you, this has been our goal this year as men. As men time, our men get together every Tuesday, women get together Tuesday night. And then we get together as couples and all that stuff, eat pancakes, and play Foursquare and all that. But we made a deal after we took our 5C form last year that, hey, we're deficient in Scripture. I went to seminary. I'm deficient in Scripture. Okay? I can talk theology all day long. I don't know Scripture. I mean, that's not good. And so we just made a pact as men of, hey, we got to get after it. You know, so my goal and a couple others, we're memorizing 10 of Scriptures this year. All right? Don't ask me tonight, but hey, we're getting after it. I got another month. I'm just hit my 200. Now it's just about keeping in the tank. But all that to say is, like, unless you, I've never verified that this guy said this, but one of our elders is kind of on record as saying, unless you are giving Scripture as your advice, keep your mouth shut, or shut your mouth. Okay? I need to go ask him. But, I mean, really, I mean, if we're giving our opinions from a brainwashed world, and don't get me wrong, we have spiritual giftedness that we need to be building up the body of Christ, but unless we're going to God's Word and going, hey, this is what the Lord says, what are we doing with that? Kyle Kegler goes, man, I will sleep so well if somebody disagrees with Scripture. If they disagree with my opinion, I'm going to lose sleep over it. If they want to disagree with Scripture, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. And so how do we continually renew our mind so that we're not Fritz, we're not fighting against people in our group who committed to say, I'm committed to you and I love you? But how do we renew our mind with Scripture? So we could get into the nuts and bolts of that, but here's the question I ask people when I sit down with them. First one is, what are you confessing, all right? Second thing is, because I don't care what you're reading, let me even take a step back, because it's especially ravenous in Dallas, right, where we got all these seminaries all over the place, and this kind of doubtful Bible Belt culture of knowledge is power. And there's something about, hey, what have you read in Scripture? How much have you read? How much have you memorized? All these things, right? That, if I can show up and tell people I've had 7 quiet times this week, dude, check the box. You're good, man. Come lead a group. You're good. Or, hey, I've memorized whatever verses this year. You're good, man. But I'm telling you, there are guys that know more Scripture that have zero life change in their life. Okay? And we've got to be very careful when we talk about, in our groups, about, once again, how much, what are you? Those aren't the right questions. So here's a question I ask. Rephrase how you want. What's God's, when you're reading Scripture this week and last couple days, what's the Lord ripping your heart out over? What is He ripping your heart out over? Meaning, what is He showing you that you're being disobedient in? What is He showing you that you love in this world more than Him? What do you treasure in this world? Maybe it's your appearance. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your wife and kids. It could be good things. It could be people. What do you love in this world more than Jesus Christ? Where's He not your treasure? And so, I'm the most slang way I can say this, where's the Lord ripping your heart out in Scripture right now? Alright, so let's take a few minutes. I'd love to know what questions do you ask, right? Not focusing on the what or how much, heart questions, right? We're back to the feelings, emotions, will, intellect, all that stuff, your essence. What questions can you guys ask around how are you renewing your mind with Scripture? All right. We good? Everybody know? It makes sense? Great. Take a few minutes and then we're going to wrap this baby up in 5 minutes. All right. I think we're on. All right. We got to wrap this baby up. All right. So love to hear, just throw out what's kind of the best question you can come up with, for each table or whatever. Or see some hands that are shaped around renewing your mind. What questions do you ask? Yes. What's the most recent one? What's an example? What would somebody put up there? So, updating your tweet, what's your spiritual status on Facebook? What would be an example of one that somebody may put up there? Yeah. All right. Everybody knows what you're doing. Sweet. Well, who else? Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, are you shaping Scripture or is Scripture shaping you? Gosh, that cuts me deep. Isn't it crazy? You can make Scripture say anything you want. I was listening to Francis Chan like 2 weeks ago and he goes, just, you can make Scripture say anything you want. Just read Scripture plainly. It's not that hard, you know, and be obedient to it. And I was like, gosh, you're good. It's just so simple. Yeah, just read Scripture. Who else? Great question. All right. Well, you can save yours. I'll just a couple other ones. Unless someone was there a hand over here? Okay. Yeah. 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 What's your scriptural basis for X? Whatever you did, what you did, or why you think what you think? I love it. You know, I have two kind of what is an area of your life that the Lord's wanting to free you of? What's an area that you know the Lord is calling you to be obedient in, right? So they both come back to what's the Lord ripping your heart out of Scripture. So I love it. Well, let me just recap real quick, right? Because we can't change people. That's the Spirit's job. We're just called to love them, speak truth, and more than anything, to lead, right? And to shepherd. And so, regardless of how people respond, lead. And so, you be the first, to confess your sin. Because we talk a lot about, hey, that we're saved, right? Future tense. I'm good. When I die, I'm good with Jesus. What confession really conveys is I've got a God that wants to save me out of whatever I am today and make me into a new creature. I am a new creature, but he wants me to be conformed into the image of the Son. So it really talks about a God that is a saving God today, tomorrow, and he's saving me from suffering. So lead out there. As far as lead out and accountability, invite others in to tell you what they see, right? Ask them for input. Tell me what you see about myself. Ask them in. And just lastly, you continue to lead out what God is changing in your life, in your heart, in light of his word. Thanks for being here. And you guys allow us to sleep more because you allow us to, you're doing the ministry. And so thank you that we just got to lock arms with you guys. And thanks for shepherding God's flock. And if you're at the conference, the big thing Todd said is you're all pastors, and that is true. We believe that with all of our heart. Thank you for allowing us to go home a little earlier and all that stuff. So, you want to come up, Kramer?
I do.
Ripple? Kramer? All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Rob Berry. How many of you know about our community blog? You know we have that? Okay. We started at the leadership conference kind of talking about it. All the talks, the talk you heard tonight, all the leadership talks are on that.
Yeah.
They're awesome. You just download them to podcasts, iTunes, however that works, and then listen to them. Pass them out to your group. I mean, we want you to be able to go and that be really resourceful for you. And so it's there and available, and don't miss out on using it, because there's some good stuff. Resources on there, all kinds of good stuff. Okay. There is a service opportunity, in case some of you are behind on service opportunities and need to make up for lost time or something. Saturday, 20 people. We need 20, so it might be a few of you guys talking about community, teaming up with community groups. Children's Hospital is doing a children's parade on Saturday, okay? They need 20 Christ followers who love Jesus even at 6 a.m. on Saturday. It may be 7, but does it really matter on Saturday morning whether it's 6 or 7? I mean, come on. No, that's the time. We need 20 people. I don't know. Emily's got the specifics. Okay, we are going to transition into our groups, but I would just like to pause for a second. That's pausing. Was that awesome or what? I'm serious. I mean, literally, if every one of our groups in our church could get to a heart level with I mean, what a wonderful world it would be, right? But dirty and riddled with conflict, but all of us growing closer to the heart of God, right? And that's why we do what we do. I just think it's worth just taking 2 seconds just going, wow. And we want to help you flesh that out. And we're always here to support you, coaches as well. But, I mean, this is like the golden ticket almost. I mean, this is like really good stuff. So really appreciate Rob coming tonight, because he's got a family that keeps up on his shirt and that he could be with tonight that he wasn't. So. All right, we're going to transition our groups. We got about 45 minutes for 9 o'clock, just so everyone's aware. We're going to dive into Experiencing God's Story and ready, break.